Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Tuesday, June 27th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. And we've got a really interesting interview coming up for you later today with the Texas Boys, which is a family, really, that moved to Texas from the Northeast, homesteaded in Texas about, 10 years ago or so. And they found a way to live off of the land. I mean, it's a lot of work. They've got several young boys, got a pretty big family, actually, that's all working together to make it all work. But they have a system that is working, and they're an inspiration to a lot of people who want to know how to get out of the city and live in a rural area. Could be Texas, could be somewhere else, and actually make it work. So we'll have that interview coming up for you. And we interview the wife of the father of the Texas Boys as well. So we're going to get the wife's point of view and the husband, you know, the whole family, actually, or most of the family. So should be interesting. Stay tuned for that. Now, have you seen the photos of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. circulating with his big muscles? Yeah? Yeah, pretty impressive, right? Pretty impressive. So take a look. Here's a photo, and then here's a video of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. doing push-ups. And I gotta say, I'm really impressed. So first of all, he's 69 years old, you know, and yet he maintains a level of fitness that is quite impressive. If you watch him doing push-ups, his push-up form is really excellent. Notice his hand placement. Very good form. And he said that was his last set. That's why he only did 9 or 10 push-ups. Of course, he can do a lot more than that. But I got to admit, the first time I saw this photo a couple days ago, I thought, that's got to be Photoshopped. I thought, there's no way that R.F. Kennedy Jr. has these shoulders and biceps and forearms and big hands and pecs like that. There's just no way. And so I called up a friend of mine who knows him rather well. And I said, are these fake? Is this Photoshop? Because RFK, I mean, he's an attorney. He spends a lot of time speaking and writing books. I mean, people who do that don't tend to have any time to work out. They don't tend to have big muscles or any real strength or anything. And my friend said, oh, no, it's all real. Because they've seen him after his workouts wearing like a tank top and just ripped with shoulder muscles and triceps and biceps. And like, no, he's into strength training. So it's all real, folks. It's all real. And I got to admit, it shamed me a little bit. I'm like, man, I can't compete with this guy. He's 69. I got to get back in better shape, right? So, of course, I hit the weights and felt really good. So thank you, RFK, for inspiring me to move some kettlebells. And I'm always amazed. I mean, I have really good core functional strength because of all the stuff I do on the ranch, like moving around 50-pound bags of grain and heavy salt licks. And sometimes I have to pick up animals like goats and things, or one time a newborn donkey, you know. I told you that story a couple years ago. There is a lot of heavy lifting on the ranch and using tools, working on tractors, loosening nuts and... have you ever tried to put a set of rubber tracks on a compact track loader when the tracks themselves weigh like 350 pounds? Have you ever tried that? That's not easy. So I have a lot of functional strength, but not the awesome physique look that RFK has. So he's inspiring me now. So I'm gonna do some more kettlebells and strength training, and then see if I can maybe do some push-ups with him one day. We'll see what happens. But I guess if he becomes president, and which is looking more and more likely with each passing day, by the way, how's he going to have time to work out as president? There's a question. Now, Bill Clinton did run around and jog from time to time. I don't know if you recall that in the 1990s, and he would swing by a McDonald's, by the way, which is crazy. RFK will not be eating McDonald's. RFK knows a lot more about nutrition and clean food and avoiding toxins and so on. That's one of the things you got to really like about him. So, Kennedy24.com is the website for his campaign, by the way. And he's rising in the polls, and especially, you know, people are realizing that Joe Biden is not capable. I mean, gosh, anybody should realize that by now. So Let's see if we can get Robert F. Kennedy Jr. the Democrat nomination. That would be awesome. See if we can make that happen. Oh, and by the way, I think the Democrat nomination process should just be whoever can do the most push-ups. And RFK, he's in. It's done. Joe Biden. I'm sorry. I shouldn't tease him. You thought that was a push-up. No, that was Joe Biden doing a face plant, and it was only one. He tripped over something on the stage. I'm sorry. That's uncalled for. All right, moving on before I get into too much trouble. All right, did you know that you can now earn private digital money on Brighteon.com? Because we have now activated the Monero crypto tipping system across the entire site, right? And what that means is that if you have a channel on Brighteon.com, all you have to do is enter your Monero receive address. That's your wallet receive address. And if you don't have a Monero wallet, just go download it. It's at getmonero.org. And no, they're not paying me to say this. I chose Monero because it's the most popular privacy coin. We're going to support a lot more coins. We just started with Monero because, again, it's number one in that space, the most popular. So download your Monero wallet, install it on your PC, your Mac, your Android, whatever. Get yourself your receive address, which is how people send you money, and then you just log in to Brighteon.com, go to the dashboard, go to settings, and on the left column, you're going to see the place to enter your Monero receive wallet address. You just paste it in there. It's a long string of characters, of nonsense-looking characters. And then, boom, your videos start to show that code right away. So then what you can do is when you're posting your videos or in your videos, you can talk to your viewers and you can say, hey, if you like my videos, you'd like to support me, just go ahead and send me some Monero as a little tip or something, you know, send me $5 worth of Monero. And people can do that and you get to keep 100% of that because we don't even know that's happening. We don't see it. We don't handle the money, nothing like that. It just goes from the user to you directly into your wallet, and you'll see all the transactions in your wallet. You'll see what you're receiving, you know, your transaction log. So we incorporated that, and many people are starting to use it. We've had a ton of positive feedback. I only wish we would have incorporated this a year ago or 2 years ago instead of messing around trying to build the fiat currency tipping system that we ultimately abandoned and trashed after spending, you know, a couple $100,000 on R&D. That was a total waste. So I learned my lesson. What lesson is that? Don't try to do things in fiat currency when the crypto ecosystem has already built the infrastructure and you can just basically implement crypto and it's a fraction of the time, a fraction of the effort and cost. And boom, now we have a tipping system in Monero. Now, we're going to expand that, as I said, to other privacy-oriented coins, but only privacy coins. We will not actually have a Bitcoin tipping system because the Bitcoin wallet addresses are transparent, obviously. So we won't have tipping in, you know, Dogecoin or Litecoin or anything else that's transparent. Only privacy coins because you need to protect your privacy. And we want to enable you to protect your privacy and also get paid by creating great content on Brighteon.com. Now, interestingly, YouTube will never do this. YouTube will never support privacy crypto because YouTube is an extension of course, the fascist state. So they want to make sure you're tied into the banking surveillance system where everything's trackable, traceable, controllable, you know, surveillance systems, all of that. So this is one way that independent media or alternative platforms like Brighteon.com can really set ourselves apart from the mainstream system. Very good to know. Okay, right now, by the way, in fact, today, Chapter 2 of COVID Land begins streaming on Brighteon University. So that's at brightu.com, B-R-I-G-H-T, and then the letter U, brightu.com. And it's free. You just register there with your email address, and you can watch Chapter 2, which is called The Mask. It runs today through June 30th. And then Saturday, July 1st, begins Chapter 3, which is called The Shot. And that runs through the July 4th holiday weekend. So don't miss this. It is a fantastic series called COVIDland. It's people love it. We're getting great feedback on it. Again, free to watch right now at brightu.com. Now, in terms of watching interesting content, I promised you that I would share with you the time of the new show called Decentralized TV, a new show that I'm launching. And again, hugely positive feedback. People are loving this idea. I'm actually a little surprised at how much positive feedback I've received. This is 5 p.m. Central or 6 p.m. Eastern this Wednesday on Brighteon.tv. And it will be in that time slot every week. So right now, one show per week, and we haven't quite filmed the proper one-minute intro for it, so don't be alarmed if it seems slightly disjointed for this first couple of episodes, but it's essentially a one-hour show, and again, it runs on Brighteon.tv at 5 p.m. Central this Wednesday or tomorrow, and in addition, after it runs there, it will be posted, of course, on decentralized.tv. And that website is not up yet, but it will be within a day and a half or so. And again, it's spelled just like it sounds, but it's decentralized.tv. So it's like a verb, and it ends with I-Z-E, decentralized.tv. Now, that show focuses on solutions for decentralized living, or as I say, building the infrastructure for human freedom. That's what the show is all about. In fact, later on this week, I'm interviewing, once again, Jim Gale, who is a food forest advocate, an engineer, in a sense. I mean, a food engineer. And he's an expert in decentralized food production. So this show, this new show, Decentralized.tv, it's not all about tech or crypto or VPNs or things like that. It's also about food and medicine and blood supply. We're reaching out to try to get somebody on to talk about how to get pure blood. You know, there's a site out there called For the Pure. I think that's it. And we're trying to get them on to talk about how to get your own healthy non-spike protein blood supply. Now, here's something else that's pretty cool. We're going to have, it looks like, although we haven't confirmed it yet, but it looks like we're going to have somebody on from the SEC. That's right, the Securities and Exchange Commission. And the reason, I mean, we reached out to them and got connected with, right now, I think a lower level person in their press office. So we're hoping they're going to kick it up. We think we're going to be able to get somebody on from the SEC to talk about the regulatory environment of cryptocurrency. That is, if they're willing to talk. We have a backup plan if they don't want to come on. But we are talking to the SEC right now. We have a confirmation from one of their press office, I don't know, employees or interns or whoever it is. And we're going to try to get the right person within the SEC to talk about crypto regulation and legalities or illegalities and things like that. Try to get a little better viewpoint or let's say more clarity of what the SEC is going to do. I mean, of course, we know they're trying to destroy crypto. That's obvious. But we don't know what they think they can do or what they're going to implement in their goal to try to destroy crypto. Because, you know, destroying crypto is actually really, really difficult because it is decentralized. I mean, they can't just outright ban even Bitcoin. I talked about this yesterday, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. But we are talking to the SEC, and it should be interesting if we can get someone on from the SEC, especially an attorney there, or maybe a prosecutor. I don't know. We'll see. Probably just end up being somebody from the press office, but we'll see how that goes. All right. Here's something interesting. You know how, as a backup plan, I have encouraged you, well, everybody, to look into getting a tractor with a PTO, which is called a power takeoff, and it's standard on, you know, all real tractors, like even hobby farm tractors, they have a PTO. And then getting yourself a PTO generator. And the PTO generator, and by the way, let me clarify, PTO is a rotating, what is this? A rotating shaft, essentially, And so you can plug in any kind of attachment that has this rotating shaft. You plug it into the back of your tractor. And this is used to run, you know, combines and shredders and who knows what else, all kinds of stuff. Combined with hydraulics, you can do a lot of interesting things. But you can also plug in a generator, and then you're effectively using the tractor's diesel engine as the power plant. And with relatively little money, you can purchase a PTO generator that just runs on the tractor, and then you plug in your house or your appliances into the PTO generator. And the brand that I have been recommending for a couple of years is called Winco, W-I-N-C-O. And I have a 50 kilowatt generator from Winco. And when I first bought it, it was a few years ago, it was only $3,500. I think now it's more like $5,500 or maybe $6,000, I don't know. But I only paid $3,500 for the first one. I have two of them now, but only $3,500 for a 50 kilowatt generator, that's quite a bargain, right? Because it doesn't have a diesel engine in it. Again, you're using the tractor as the engine. And since you need a tractor anyway, if you're on some property because you need something to move dirt around, what have you, you know, depending on where you are, where you're living, sometimes you got to move things around. You got to lift logs or whatever. You got to move garden dirt, compost, you know, the whole deal. So you need a little tractor. And by the way, Kubota is a really good brand. If you're looking for tractors, take a look at Kubota. They are definitely, I think, among the very best. But my point here is that there was a storm that swept through Central Texas. I don't know what it was, a week ago or something. And sure enough, took down the power grid all throughout Austin and many areas of Central Texas. And so I used that as an opportunity to just test out my PTO setup once again. So I just, you know, I pull my tractor around with the generator connected to it. I have this generator on a little platform with little wheels so I can pull it. And I set it up next to my electrical system where I have a transfer switch and I have this big fat cable. I mean, this cable, it's got to be like, I think the diameter of the electrical cable is 2 inches, maybe more. It's hefty. Anyway, plug this thing into the Winco generator, crank up the tractor, get it up to the RPMs that are necessary for the PTO, which I think is that 4250. I think that's the correct RPMs. It's indicated on the tractor gauge. On all tractors, you can see like where's the right level for the PTO to be considered, you know, correct. And then I throw the transfer switch because the grid was down. You know, I throw the transfer switch and boom, woo, lights are on. We have lights. So everything's working, you know, water pumps, whatever, computers, you know, bandwidth, all that. So I actually did my work and did all my tasks for work, you know, content and publishing and uploading files and whatever, running on diesel. And it worked beautifully, unlike that time that you may recall back in January of 2021 when we had that big freeze in Texas and I couldn't start my tractor. Oh, that was a nightmare. Well, that didn't happen. This time it was all smooth because it's hot outside. Tractor starts right up. And plus, I have better batteries now. Everything's good. Electricity worked great. And ran that thing for probably 4 hours and checked the fuel. I was shocked. It barely used any diesel. I was like, this is awesome. Just a couple gallons of diesel powered everything. I mean, I don't know how many gallons exactly, but it didn't seem like much to me just looking at the gauge. I was like, wow, I don't even have to put fuel in this thing. So you can burn diesel and make electricity through that mechanism. Just passing that along. If you want to know a good way to be off grid. And the other advantage of that is it's portable. You can roll, you can drive your tractor over to your neighbor's house or whatever and let them have electricity for a little while. You're basically just converting diesel into electricity if you have a good reliable tractor, such as a Kubota, let's say. Now, there's one tip to watch out for. I'll share with you. And I have to give you a disclaimer on this. There's a safety risk of what I'm going to explain here. Most modern tractors will not let you get out of the seat when the PTO is engaged. And that's because there have been too many farmers killed because they were running the PTO, which again is a giant rotating cylinder that has all kinds of horsepower. And the farmer would get out of the seat and they would go walk around and try to solve some problem, you know, with the combine or whatever. And sometimes this would be in winter and they'd be wearing, you know, like a hoodie with some, I don't know, or they'd be wearing gloves or long sleeves or something with like a zipper, something. And there'd be something hanging off of that and it would get caught in that PTO that's spinning at 100 horsepower or whatever the power is, and it would wrap them up. It would like suck them in and just grind up the farmer. That's happened to a lot of people. And so, I know, kind of gruesome. It's, I don't mean to be graphic, but, you know, real farming is dangerous, by the way. There's a lot of ways to get hurt on a farm. That's one of them. The other way is to stand in front, you should never do this, but stand in front of the large tractor tire when you start the tractor. That can also kill you because if it's in gear, it'll roll over you. So don't do that. Always sit in the seat before you start a tractor. But nevertheless, if you want to be able to run one of these tractors with the PTO running so you have power and you want to get out of the seat and not just sit there the whole time, you're going to have to either, and again, my disclaimer is don't do this. It's a safety hazard. I'm just telling you, theoretically, you would have to either bypass the seat sensor or you would have to find something heavy to put in the seat to trick the seat into thinking that something was there. Okay? I use the car battery. So I just, it's kind of like Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom. He's trying to steal the statue and put the sandbag on the pedestal. Remember that? So I'm sitting in the seat. I'm trying to get out of the seat and put the battery on the seat real fast before the engine dies. Keep the PTO running so I can have electricity. So that's what I did. I can't recommend that you do it. The manufacturer of the tractor would be freaking out if they heard me describe this. But that's what I did. And you know why? Because I don't go near that rotating PTO. Because I don't want to commit farmer suicide. I keep my distance from that thing. Man, I see big steel moving parts. Like watching videos of men on oil drilling rigs just gives me shivers. I oh my God, how do they keep their limbs? Have you seen some of those videos? No, seriously. Let me show you one so you can see what I'm talking about. It's frightening to watch. So dangerous. Check this out. All right, so check it out. These guys are called roughnecks, and you see that, that's the drilling rig right there. You see that spinning metal? Like, what would that do to your ankles, huh? But these men, these roughnecks, these are some tough dudes. They're strong, they're fast, they got to be coordinated. And you can tell they're coordinated because they still have all their fingers. And I just watch this for a second. Try not to cringe. This makes me absolutely cringe, the way these guys manipulate this machinery. Safety, you got to be so safety-minded. You got to know what you're doing. And there's chains involved, by the way. And what is that, a giant gripper claw? Oh my gosh. So watch these guys. I mean, you got to trust the partner you're working with. Looks like they're adding an extension onto the drill, or maybe they're removing some length of it. I don't know what they're doing here, but watch this. Here they go. They're going to put these grippers on the drill bit. Oh, here we go. Pulling it out. Okay. Get ready. Oh, watch yourself. Look at this. All right. So far, so good. The exciting part hasn't even happened yet. Here we go. Boom. Oh, put that on. Clamp it in. Oh, watch your fingers. Now it's spinning. Where's your feet? Oh, watch your hands. Look at these guys. Oh, there's mud. There's oil. What's coming out of this thing? It's all slippery. Oh, and I got to stick it on there. Oh, how did they not lose a hand in that move right there? Oh my gosh, the whole thing is like shaking. Oh, watch your head, watch your face, your teeth. Oh my God, look at these guys. How do they still have teeth? They're barely wearing any helmets, all right? And then they got to feed it back in, jam it in. Whew. Look at that. And again, how do you not get injured doing this stuff? These are some tough dudes. Now, granted, this is an older video. We can stop it now. It's an older video. And probably the mechanisms are a little less dangerous at the moment in 2023, but still. Woo! Ranchers, you know, cattle ranchers dealing with longhorns and roughnecks, all of it, man, makes me cringe. Be careful with that. Okay, anyway, bottom line, the tractor PTO generator test worked perfectly. It is a good system, and you can stockpile diesel very safely and easily. You can get yourself like a 500-gallon diesel tank and call a diesel supply company to come out and fill it up. And then you can have plenty of diesel for your survival project, whatever that happens to be. All right, next story, shifting gears here. Published in the journal Water Research, and I want to thank, I don't know if he wants me to give out his name, but I want to thank, we'll just call him JJ, for sending me this link. Thank you, JJ. Here's an article. You can look this up. It was published July 1st of 2023, coming right up. So it's a brand new article, pretty amazing. And it's by Chinese researchers. It is the following, quote, "A novel solar-activated chlorine dioxide process for atrazine degradation in drinking water." And so essentially what this research paper documents is the fact that chlorine dioxide destroys atrazine in water. Now, how cool is that? Because atrazine, of course, is the gender bender herbicide chemical. And, you know, that's what turns the frogs gay, as Alex Jones said, and he was actually correct. And now RFK Jr. has confirmed the same thing. Atrazine makes little boys think they're little girls, by the way. Yeah, seriously, feminization of men. And so atrazine is the second most common herbicide used in the food supply. And in our lab, we have validated a method for atrazine quantitation of food samples, and we have begun atrazine testing of certain food items that tend to be high in atrazine, which include, by the way, pineapple, cashews, and corn. I don't know if you knew that, but for some reason, there's atrazine in corn frequently. Not all corn, but a lot of corn. And I don't know why it's in pineapples. I guess wherever they're growing pineapples in Hawaii or wherever, they must be spraying weed killer all over the place around the pineapple plants, which, of course, are very low to the ground, if you know how those grow. So anyway, this is pretty cool because chlorine dioxide, which I have insisted should be part of everybody's emergency first aid kit, there must be 1,000 uses for chlorine dioxide. And the cool thing about chlorine dioxide is you can stock up on its raw materials just in bulk very inexpensively in order to make your own. I'll walk you through that here in a second. But this article is talking about solar-activated chlorine dioxide using low energy and just using, you know, solar energy in order to generate chlorine dioxide from the source ingredients. And then this causes, well, let me just read a little bit from the abstract. It says it uses advanced oxidation processes, AOPs. See, that's how chlorine dioxide work. It rapidly oxidizes, which causes morphological changes of a lot of molecules, including, by the way, snake venom. So remember a couple of weeks ago when one of my dogs got bit by a snake, a venomous snake, and her foot swelled up and her ankle, and it started to swell her hip. And remember what I did? I put oregano oil on the bite, and then I gave her a high dose of chlorine dioxide in her drinking water. And the result of that was the swelling went down dramatically in only 12 hours because the chlorine dioxide was circulating in her body, and it was actually denaturing the snake venom peptides that were circulating in her blood and, you know, lodging in her tissue. So it's pretty powerful. Now, by the way, just to be clear, I'm not saying that if you get bit by a snake that you should just drink a bunch of chlorine dioxide. If you get bit by a snake, you should go to the emergency room and try to get, you know, anti-venom. And I don't know if you know this about snake bites, but always try to identify the snake. because that otherwise they don't know which anti-venom to give you. So if you can get a picture of the snake, it's even better. But if you get bit by a snake, number one, by the way, 90% of the time, you were screwing with the snake. So don't tease rattlesnakes. They are faster than you. But the second most common way to get bit by a snake is if you're accidentally reaching underneath something, like under a rock ledge, for whatever reason. Maybe you drop something, you drop your flashlight, and you're reaching down there, and boom, you get bit on your hand because, well, guess what? There was a rattlesnake living there. So try to find out the snake, what kind of species it is. Get your butt to the emergency room, get the antivenom. However, that said, if we're in a collapse scenario, if we're in an emergency medicine, ditch medicine, off-grid scenario, you don't have access to an emergency room. I don't know. You're in the outback of Australia somewhere, whatever. Oh, yeah, I guess Australia doesn't have all these snakes, but you get my point. Wherever you go, you need to know that chlorine dioxide can be an emergency backup plan for lots of different things, from food poisoning to snake venom bites and all kinds of things. And some people believe it also may denature spike proteins in the blood. And, you know, that's a valid theory. That's pretty cool. So anyway, back to the science paper. Let's see. This addresses the presence of microcontaminants and the formation of disinfection byproducts, DBPs. I don't know why they have to put acronyms on everything. In this work, the activation of chlorine dioxide with solar power, a renewable and inexhaustible energy, which is not actually, it's not inexhaustible, it's actually using up mass, but whatever, was developed to degrade atrazine and control the formation of DBPs, disinfection byproducts. Results revealed that this process was effective in degrading atrazine. Hydroxyl radicals and chlorine radicals produced in this solar/chlorine dioxide process were found to be the predominant agents for atrazine degradation, with contribution rates of 55.9% and 44.1%, respectively, based on competition kinetics, whatever. So, what this means is that chlorine dioxide also destroys atrazine in water. Now, there's a website out there called The Universal Antidote. I think it's just theuniversalantidote.com, but you can search for it if that's not right. And it's a great resource on chlorine dioxide. I've become a huge, huge believer in chlorine dioxide ever since Bob Sisson told me about it and was sharing everything with me about it. And it took me quite a while, to understand how useful this substance is. I frankly didn't believe all the claims at first, but now I found it's so incredibly useful. I really don't know that I could live without it on the ranch. I mean, it's amazing. It's also very useful, by the way, for cleaning out water storage containers. So let's say you're collecting rainwater into a barrel, or maybe you have a big barrel. I don't know. Well, how do you prevent all kinds of algae or critters or whatever, bacteria growing in that water? Well, the answer is chlorine dioxide, by the way. It's so simple. So get up to speed on this. There are 1,000 uses. I put it in the water for my chickens, by the way. I put it in water for my dogs. You know, I use it for the snake bite situation. And it's got 1,000 uses, and it can destroy atrazine herbicide. So if you want to be a proper prepper, you'll want to stock up on a product called sodium chlorite, C-H-L-O-R-I-T-E, sodium chlorite. Now, sodium chlorite, understand, it's usually sold as 80% flakes. And you don't want to eat this stuff. It's a hazardous substance by itself, and it's very concentrated. But in small amounts, and you should do your own, you should get, you know, watch appropriate videos, exercise all safety precautions. But if you combine a very small amount of sodium chlorite into water to make a solution, then that solution can be turned into sodium chloride with the addition of simple acids. Could be hydrochloric acid, could be vinegar, could be citric acid. People actually stockpile citric acid for this very purpose. So if you have sodium chlorite and then you have some form of acid, which again, vinegar, citric acid, hydrochloric acid, whatever, then you can make chlorine dioxide for all kinds of emergency uses. So I just want you to know that, because this is a critical prepping knowledge base. And there might be all kinds of scenarios where you need this. Like, for example, what if you need to sterilize surgical tools or wound bandages? I don't know. You're living through World War III and the zombies have already attacked and you've run out of bandages and you have to wash the ones you have. Well, you would want to use a chlorine dioxide solution as a sanitizing solution, and you can spray it on surfaces. And by the way, this is the stuff they were spraying all over the place to kill COVID. You know, they were spraying on city buses and sidewalks and doors and hospital rooms and stuff. It kills or denatures all kinds of toxic substances and molecules and venoms and all kinds of things. So again, 1,000 uses for this substance. Obviously, we don't sell it. Otherwise, they would try to throw me in jail for saying what I just said, because Mark Grennan and his sons are still in prison. In where are they? Are they in Colombia, I think? I believe they're still in prison because the FDA jumped on them for selling chlorine dioxide with various claims of treating various, I think, diseases and things. They've been in prison this entire... It's been years, actually. I mean, talk about a travesty of justice. It's been longer than the J6 prisoners. And frankly, we need to get Mark Grennan back on the show. And I don't know. I mean, it's like the American government is just paying off the corrupt foreign government to keep these people in jail and not let them have a trial or something. It's talk about corruption. Somebody should do a movie on what has happened to the Grennans, and just because they were promoting chlorine dioxide as a treatment for various diseases. But the point I'm trying to just get across here today is that not even for disease treatments, I'm just talking about topical antiseptics, water purification, and now denaturing atrazine herbicide in water. Again, 1,000 uses for this substance. It's amazing. So this is interesting. I just went on to Amazon just to check this out for you. I typed in chlorine dioxide water purification tablets. And sure enough, there's a bunch of companies selling tablets. Like here's 30 tablets for $16 called potable aqua chlorine dioxide. There's 20 gram tablets, a 10 pack, labeled as a air freshener and deodorizer. That's interesting. There's a bunch of different water purification tablets. So apparently this is available in tablet form for doing things like cleaning out, you know, water collection barrels or what have you. So anyway, do your research, be safe, you know, get professional guidance on this stuff, but have this as part of your emergency medical supply. Okay, by the way, we're about to jump into the interview with the Texas Boys. This is a really fascinating look at a family that successfully homesteaded in Texas. And they've got 6 kids, 5 boys and 1 girl, I think. And we hear from both the father and the mother, who share traditional American and Christian values, by the way. And we get to talk to their oldest son, who's 18 years old, and talk to him about lots of interesting things like, hey, how are you going to find a wife one day who's not brainwashed by the system and all vaccinated with spike protein, everything. So it's a fascinating interview and conversation that's coming up. I want to mention a couple of solutions from some sponsors here that have some specials. CaliKey, which is that drop-in replacement for the bolt carrier group on your AR-15 that turns your AR into a bolt-action rifle, which makes it compliant in California, but check your local laws yourself to be sure. Not every AR will be compliant, so you need to do your own research and follow your own local laws. But makes it a bolt-action rifle, so it's no longer a semi-automatic rifle. It's called Kalikey, K-A-L-I-K-E-Y. And they're running some kind of a special over the July 4th weekend. I don't know the details yet, but I do know they're going to use discount code RANGER for that. And they're a sponsor of Brighton TV, and we appreciate their support there on the network. So I just thought I'd give them a plug here. Again, kalikey.com, discount code RANGER. You can turn your AR-15 into a bolt-action rifle. It takes, it only took me 60 seconds to swap this thing out. But then again, I'm very familiar with these rifles. But you just take out one pin, near the trigger on the AR. You pop it open, you slide out the BCG, you slide in this new one, you're done. And, you're up and running, and it works. And they've got them also for the 308s as well, not just the 5.56 ARs, so check that out. Also, if you're looking for ballistic armor, our sponsor in that space is hoplitearmor.com, H-O-P-L-I-T-E. I don't know if they're running any July 4th specials, but they do have an ongoing Ranger code discount. It's either 10 or 15% off, which is a great deal because they have good pricing for what they offer. American design, American made. Very high-end, tested, certified ballistic armor. Hoplitearmor.com, use discount code RANGER. And then also shieldarms.com for some really nice Glocks. And also they have the folding AR-15 stocks. So if you want to have a more compact AR, given that the ATF no longer wants you to have arm braces, well, a folding stock is a really great solution because you have a full-length barrel on it, right? A 16-inch barrel or longer. But the folding stock makes it really compact. So you can check that out at shieldarms.com. And if you use discount code RANGER when you buy a rifle there, they give you a discount. I don't know if it's $50 or $75. I keep forgetting. I can't keep it all straight. But use discount code RANGER on every sponsor that we have and see what it gives you. And then for garden seeds, arkseedkits.com, arkseedkits.com. Use discount code RANGER there and see what kind of discounts you get. So that should help you get prepped. Don't forget chlorine dioxide, as I said before. Although I can't recommend any specific place to get that, and we don't sell it, obviously. But you just have to poke around and see who's got some of that available for you. And with that said, I'm going to wrap this up, and we're going to go to the Texas Boys interview. And then I'll be back with you tomorrow with some in-studio interviews. Let's see, who do I have? Okay, this is great. We have a book author that we're interviewing. And we're interviewing a filmmaker also. Oh, that should be good. So, and then guess what? We are going to be interviewing someone from the team of presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. That's right. Vivek's team responded. They're like, yes, we want to be on your show. And it's not Vivek himself yet. They're going to give us like a test person first, I think is what that is. Kind of see how that goes. And then if that goes well, then maybe we get to talk to Vivek himself, which is fine. I understand. You never know. But we're going to do an interview and we'll bring you that because Vivek is, pro-freedom, pro-crypto, pro-America, a really promising candidate on the Republican side. We want to talk to everybody who has, good ideas for this country. So Mr. Ramaswamy, you are welcome here, and I apologize for not getting your name right a couple weeks ago. I now have it. Okay, you got to give Americans a little break on the complex Indian-sounding names. We're Americans. We, for the most part, we have no idea how to pronounce other people's names. We just do the best we can. In fact, we have all kinds of Mexican names of streets and cities all over America, and we pronounce them like Americans. Like, it always freaked me out when I moved to Texas, and there's a city in central Texas called San Marcos. I mean, that's how I would pronounce it because I lived in Ecuador. Like, Marcos, Marcos, right? But in Texas, here's how they say it. San Marcos. it's San Marcos. I'm like, no, Marcus is M-A-R-C-U-S. Marcos is O-S. But they're like, nope, it's Marcus. So, you know, you got to fit in. So now I pronounce it San Marcos just so people don't look at me funny in Texas. But it should be Marcos. I'm just saying. So Ramaswamy, you're not the only one that suffers from American pronunciation. All right, we're doing the best we can. Anyway, enjoy this interview with the Texas boys. And we'll be back with you tomorrow with some new interviews and some new news. Talk to you then. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And as you know, a lot of people who watch this channel either live in the country right now or are interested in homesteading or moving to the country, getting out of the cities, being more self-reliant. And our guests today, very special guests, I met them at an expo in Central Texas, invited them back to the studio. I'm joined today by the Texas boys. And the dad here is TD, and one of his sons, Matt, joins us. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Well, welcome. I mean, thanks for coming out. And you brought your whole family. They're hanging out in the green room watching this. But you have a really impressive family.
Well, thank you.
I mean, practical, hands-on. You've got six kids.
Yeah, six kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. I mean, different ages, but very practical. So tell our audience a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you're doing and where you're from, because you're not actually from Texas originally.
Yes. Yeah, so we strategically relocated from the Northeast about 10, almost 10 years ago now. And, you know, my wife and I, we met in college and we both grew up in neighborhoods, you know, and, we got married, we started having children, and we just started noticing a societal shift. And what's very interesting is we just had a weather event here in Texas that it was straight line winds or ultra gigantic tornado or some machination of something or other. And it knocked out an enormous amount of power for a very long time. Well, a very similar event happened 12 years ago, and it was a derecho. Uh-huh, and right. What it did is it knocked out the power in our area. And in the Northeast. Uh-huh. And when these gas stations didn't have power, you know, people started losing their mind. Nobody was prepared for anything.
Yep.
But not only was nobody prepared for anything, the cultural and societal construct immediately evaporated. You know, there was no Southern hospitality, so to speak. You know, and
not in the Northeast.
No. And so it was actually that event 12 years ago that when I came home from work, I said, "Babe, we really should think about moving." You know,
no kidding. That was the wake up call.
Yeah, because what happened is I had to get some gas for one of my guys. I was working a job. I own a construction company, and I drove up the street. It was a 2-lane highway. I drove up the street to the first gas station that had gas. Well, and it was, the lines were backed up, and it was kind of like bedlam, and people were cursing. Now, thankfully, in the Northeast, you can't own a firearm, so you didn't have to worry about anybody, like, you know, pointing a gun at you.
Well, but the criminals are coming. Gun laws never stop the bad guys, right?
Right. So I got the gas, and I had to pull out. Well, there was a concrete median, so I had to go north. So I get northbound. Well, I go to the next gas station, and it's like business as usual. Everything's normal because nobody thought to, like, oh, well, this gas station has power, so everybody went there, you know? And that was really like, wow, people didn't even realize that if they just continued up the road like 5 more miles, like everything was much more normal, and everybody there was losing their mind. And
wow, okay, so was your wife on board then with this idea of let's leave home and venture out into rural Texas and start over?
Yeah, it was definitely a mutual decision that we came to collectively, you know, and just with a lot of prayer and study, we really felt that the Lord was telling us to move. For a magnitude of reasons, because having three young children, we would talk about, like, well, how will our children ever be able to afford property here? How will they be able to just afford basic living, and even let alone any kind of legacy or future or property? And this was before we ever even thought about farming. We did always have animals, and we had goats and chickens and different things like that. But we never really ever thought about, like, we're going to farm and we're going to have cows and we're going to grow all our own food and we're going to be like 80 to 90% self-sufficient. We never even considered that that was a possibility when the whole thing started.
Yeah. But it seems like you're way ahead of the curve when you made that decision. You came here. How old were you, Matt, at that time?
I just turned 11 when we got down here to Texas.
Oh, okay. Were you okay with the move?
Yeah, we were all on it. All of us little kids, we were ready to go, ready to leave.
Were you surprised how much work it takes to live in the country?
Definitely. We did have some chickens and goats and different things like that. And when we moved down here, it was kind of funny, since we were little and we thought about Texas, we thought it was going to be like the Wild West, tumbleweeds and everything. And we here and we're like, well, it's Northeast Texas too. And we're like, it's just the pine current. It's all pine trees, you know?
Yeah.
We're like, this is Texas, you know?
This paradise like down movies, here. Right?
So anyway, it was absolutely incredible just being able to run out every side. We were able to run out as little kids outside in the backyard, go play in the woods, in the mud, and just explore. And we were able to build with our own hands. And we built our first chicken coop down here out of pallets all types of stuff, and just learning all types of new skills every day. And since we're all homeschooled and everything, we had all the time in the world. So it was a lot of fun.
And you now, I mean, both of you, you have videos on your channel, The Texas Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you're on YouTube and other places as well.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of helping to evangelize this lifestyle, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And what kind of feedback do you get from people? I mean, have you influenced other people to make that same move?
Yeah, we hope so. You know, we have about almost 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. We have a couple different channels. Then we are on Rumble and Odyssey. And we get a lot of feedback. We meet people in real life that say, you motivated me to do this or to make this change.
Cool.
You know, the biggest thing that I tell people is do it now.
Just do it.
You have to do it now, regardless of whatever. I mean, our decision that we made was very, we made it very rapidly. And we just did it. We didn't know anybody in Texas. We had never been to Texas.
Really?
Had no contacts. We found two rental properties on Craigslist.
You didn't have a job lined out. Nothing.
Why did you choose Texas then?
We were hard school homeschoolers. And then I very much appreciated the Second Amendment. So we said, we're going to base our decision majorly around, one, Southern culture. So we knew it was going to be the South. We knew we wanted a longer growing season. We wanted it to be warm because it's, in my opinion, it's easier to exist and survive if it's warmer versus if it's colder. You get a little more autonomy in like Alaska and whatnot, but it's incredibly difficult to survive there.
Plus you get two growing seasons. You get That's spring and fall.
Yeah.
Correct.
But then of course, intense heat
right
now. Which is not a growing season.
No, it is not.
Okay, cool. So you chose Texas on purpose.
Yeah.
You moved out with, at that time, your three sons.
Yes. Yeah.
And are all three of your sons also part of your channel now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We us three brothers actually started the YouTube channel.
Okay.
So it actually, we saved up one summer back when I was 11, and it was like the year we moved on to the homestead. And so it was about 7-8 years ago now. And we went ahead and we bought like a little, not super, super knockoff GoPro for $20.
Yeah.
And we just started filming from there, just every little, you know, our chores and different things like that. And then somehow we were able to con her mom into starting a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Don't know how that all happened, but she was gracious enough for us to do that. And it's been the biggest blessing in the world, because now we can go back after 1,200, 1,300 videos that we posted up there. And we're able to go back and see what it was like, you know, 8 years ago. Uh-huh. And it's it's incredible what we've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. And because you learn something every day with this lifestyle. Yeah. And I'm sure you realize this, but a lot of people around the country look at the life you're living and they really, really admire it.
Yeah.
And they almost feel maybe a sense of jealousy. A lot of people are stuck in a city situation, either with a job or a family member, or they're just, it's just too much to try to start over somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
So they're probably looking at you and thinking, wow, you know, you really made a good call and you're figuring it out. But there's also, like, nothing's easy either.
Absolutely not.
Talk to us about that, man.
Yeah, the thing is that, you know, it's a lot of hard work. You know, I think not enough people cover that on YouTube with their homesteading thing. They kind of gloss over the super hard work part of it. You know, you get those Pinterest homestead people.
Right. Like, and here's my chicken coop, and it's all clean and beautiful. Yeah. Oh, really?
With twinkle lights.
I've never seen one like that before. Yeah.
Twinkle lights and no chicken poop on the floor.
Right, right.
Yeah. Like,
right. Where do you find that?
So, no, it's hard work, and but it's very gratifying work. That's the beautiful thing. It's not just hard work, it's very gratifying work. At the end of the day, you can sit back and look at what you've done that day. Yeah. And it just is very, very gratifying. And yeah, from a young age, us brothers just started working and going around the homestead, learning different skills like cutting down trees and mowing the grass and different things like that. And just learning the skills. But yeah, for people out there, you know, you just gotta get out there and do it. And you know, we came down here to Texas with nothing. We let our house foreclose up there.
Really?
In the north. Yep. Let her foreclose. It was all remodeled and fancy and everything like that. Uh-huh. Let it foreclose. We brought down two beds.
Two mattresses.
Mattresses.
And our food storage in 5 gallon buckets.
Uh-huh.
And some clothes and different things like that. In a 8x12.
8x12 one-way U-Haul.
One-way U-Haul.
Wow. Yep. You weren't going back.
Nope. It was a one-way shot.
No turning back.
All brand new appliances. They stayed in the house. And we found two rentals on Craigslist. And it's really funny because, you know, you drive 2,000 miles or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, the rental's got to go back, right? So you go to the first rental, and it was kind of scary. You know what I mean?
You're like, really?
Oh, man, we just drove 2,000 miles, and this is kind of scary, you know?
Yeah. It was like a little house? Or a
apartment? it was like a little kind of farmhouse, but it wasn't well-maintained.
And it was right next to a really, like, creepy RV park thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't in, like, the best area. It wasn't in a bad area, though.
No.
But so we hit that one and we're like, uh-oh, that one ain't going to work. Yeah. So then we went to the next one and the next one was a...
Well, it was funny. As soon as we pulled up to it and started going down like a decently long driveway, we're like, this is it. You know, we didn't see any houses.
And there
was
it's Longhorn out there.
Longhorns and cows.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Like, this is like, what we're looking for. This is it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is awesome.
We love Longhorns here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you escaped the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. on the first night. And that's you know, when you get to Texas, you're supposed to bring a gun.
Right. That's exactly right.
Otherwise, you don't really qualify.
No, that's right. That's right.
Or one of these battle axes I'm showing you right here. All right. So let me ask you a question. And then TD, I hope you don't mind this, Matt, but let me just say, you know, I observe your boys and your family. They appear to be of sound mind. They're polite, which is very unusual in society today. Like, it seems like boys that you brought up, right? You and your wife, wife's got to get credit too, right?
Yes, 100%.
And yet we live in a society today where teenagers, especially indoctrinated in the school system, they completely disrespect their parents. They think their parents don't know anything.
Yeah.
They think that you know, they're totally brainwashed and all the things, culture, you know, trans, whatever.
Yeah, Yeah.
And then they come home and their parents don't even know them. And that's not a family anymore.
No.
No.
But what you have is actually a family, a traditional American family.
Yeah.
That's a treasure beyond, well, beyond measure.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, that was the hope and the goal, you know, and it's one of the reasons why we, me and my wife and I both went to government school, you know,
yeah.
we both detested it. We both hated it. And we made the commitment. Well, if God's going to bless us with children, we're going to teach them, right? And we don't want, and this was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when we were in government schools, and it was detestable back then.
Yeah.
I know some people try to paint it like it was cooler in the 80s and 90s, but public school was never cool, at least not for me. I mean, so we made the sacrifice. You know, enough people don't. The two sacrifices we made is we said we're gonna homeschool our children, and my wife is gonna stay home and do that, and she's gonna keep the home, and she's gonna perform their traditional role that American women performed for a century or so. You know, and because for any country, society to continue to exist, the next generation must be raised and reared and forged properly in order for society to continue on a normal level. Now, you forsake that, you'll get purple-haired things that are unfamiliar with what their pronouns are.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, you get, what do you get? You get mass confusion, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it's, you know, it's the same thing with like moving to the country and choosing like an agrarian, more simplified lifestyle. It's amazing how all of it kind of goes hand in hand.
Yes, isn't it?
And that's what's really interesting is when you start to take the step and make the decisions, you're like, different things in your life start to align. Just like as a Christian, you know, different things as you're doing agrarian type like husbandry, whether it's with fruit trees or grafting or whatever, you'll see these illustrations in scripture. And then as you're participating in it, you're like, I understand that even more now, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when God created man and woman, you know, he created man and then he took woman from his rib, you know, to be a helpmeet. There is that order, and that God created order, the only way for it to be maintained is to continue. And the problem with postmodern, post-truth society, it's not just America, is that order has been categorically rejected.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And you know how it's been done? It's been through satanic sacrifice, and that's the sacrifice of our children.
Yes.
On the altar of propaganda.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For sure. And here we are in, quote, Pride Month.
Yeah.
Right. Now,
exactly.
which is a state-sponsored celebration of pedophilia.
Yeah, exactly.
And Satanism.
Yeah.
With all the symbolism that goes with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know you're a big picture thinker, so you're thinking about the sustainability of the human race and of your family. So, yeah. So what about you, Matt? I mean, how old are you, can I ask?
18.
You're 18. Okay.
Yeah.
So at some point, you know, you're going to want to have a family.
Correct.
How do you find someone who has the values that that you have? And not just that, but, you know, pardon me for bringing up biology, but can actually reproduce. Because so many women today, they've taken the spike protein jabs.
Mm-hmm.
They've been indoctrinated into the chemicals.
Correct.
They are not fertile.
Yeah. Yep.
And a lot of men are not fertile because of the same reason. So the future of the human race depends on young men like you finding young women.
Other pure bloods.
Yeah, other pure bloods, exactly. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that, if you don't mind me asking?
My thoughts on it are on trying to find a spouse in 2023 and on, is it's definitely going to be a tricky thing to do, 100%, because there's not a lot of them left out there that haven't been brainwashed into all this new think and woke stuff that they're spreading around. And I've met several young people over the past years, and you know, it's sad to see what's been going on. And it's really sad for being a young adult slash, I guess, teenager or whatever, to see our generation, my generation, fading away, falling away. And it's really sad, and rebelling against God. But I don't know. We're going to see here. I'm kind of going to be living proof of it here. So I don't know how to do it just yet. So I don't have the answer to that.
Well, I mean, that's an honest answer.
Yeah.
But I'll add, I think that what we're living through right now is also very temporary, because anytime society turns against God, that doesn't last.
No.
You know, there's a fall.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then
correct.
People often, at least as in the Bible stories, people return to God. They
hopefully.
Beg God.
Yeah. Hopefully they
return. Lord willing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then God blesses them with abundance you know, life yet again. And that lesson keeps being repeated
over and
over again. But what we're living through right now, it can't last. It's not sustainable.
No, correct.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Your comments, TD, you want to chime in on the next generation?
Yep. Well, you know, we...
I'm sorry if I'm asking super sensitive questions.
No,
it's fine.
This
is why we do... This is why we homeschool. This is why we started and felt the need to homestead, to live a more simple agrarian lifestyle. So, for one, to raise the men, to then find the women. And here's the other
real
thing.
Real men, too.
Yeah, real men, right?
Yeah.
That'll find...
going to curl up in a ball and cry.
Right, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, and then...
Because you use the wrong pronoun?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm very old school, and I'm probably way too old school for some people, you know, as patriarchal, like we're not...
You're never too old school.
Complementarian or egalitarian, you know? And so... I'm looking for other patriarchal men that have raised girls, you know? And so that's what we're looking for, to, in a very traditional way, hope to find families that can come together so that our men that we raise can find biblical, godly women that want to fulfill their design role and, you know,
God-given role.
It's strange we have to talk about gender roles, you know,
sad.
Because that used to be assumed, it used to be biological, it used to be scientific, but I mean, now it's subjective, I guess, but
you're definitely going to get some pushback just from even using the term.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Right? I'm sure you get
100%.
That already.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of women watching also who are saying, "Well, wait a minute.
They all went to government
school. I don't want to be the home mom."
I do. I understand.
What about dad homeschooling?
Well, I mean, I know dads that do that, and that is an option. But here's the thing: if we do not return to a real traditional order, you know, look at how we got here, right, and how we had the freedoms that we had, and we can't. There's no way that, well, with technology, you know, we'll be able to live on the frontier and create freedom and create abundance, right? But deny and reject gender roles. And like I said, I know for most people, when they first hear that, maybe if you listen to it a couple times, it may or may not start making sense to you, but it is very, it's cognitive dissonance. It's jarring for them because of feminism and what feminism has done with, you know, government indoctrination, with Hollyweird and all these different things. I mean, you're just getting like crushed with it, you know, in college, and you need to get a good education so you can get a good job and dual income, no kids.
Correct.
And,
yep.
You know, there's no gold standards. We need more buying power. Oh, we need to tax the husband and the wife. So she's got to get out there. Okay, Sally Steamfitter, you're doing it so we can win the war. We're going to beat the Nazis, you know?
Right.
And now
right.
Here we are.
Well, and now the culture war is actually, they despise women and motherhood.
Exactly.
Yes.
So now even the feminists are finding themselves attacked by the culture cultists, the left-wing cultists, But let me ask you, does your wife ever go on camera?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she would love
to. She has
her
own channel.
Well, bring her in.
Yeah.
Let's,
yeah.
Let's get her in here.
Okay.
Right
sure.
Can she just come in and join you?
Yeah.
And, absolutely. Okay. Faith, are you back there? You want to come join us? Is this too much testosterone here?
She's
more
intelligent than I am.
So here we go. We're going. Okay. All right. So, welcome, Faith.
Thank you.
We've been talking about you. I don't know if you could hear.
Yeah, I could hear a little bit.
Okay. So what we've been talking about is, you know, gender roles in the family,
right,
and sustainability of families and mm-hmm. homeschooling and everything. And I felt like we should invite you on here to talk about what's your experience with the family and
sure.
raising your six kids and all of this. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so my thoughts are I just feel totally blessed, 100%, that I'm able to stay home. I don't feel like it's been a burden or, I don't know, I just feel very blessed. I don't want to say privileged these days because that carries connotation, right?
right?
So, but yeah, super blessed. Is it easy? No. I mean, I did work. We both went to college. We both worked. We did the career thing. We did the dual income thing.
Oh,
we
did that,
the
yeah.
high five as one passes out the door mm-hmm. and
right.
whoever gets home first gets to make dinner. And, mm-hmm. you know, we did all of that.
Yep.
And
yep.
so we just made a decision that, okay, we did that for a period of time, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to continue to do that. So it's going to require sacrifice. But I just kind of took on the challenge of being home, of being a stay-at-home mom, as a career. Like, I uh-huh. looked at it with, like, as a challenge. Like, okay, how can I do this thing? How can
oh, yeah.
I do it really, really well?
So
you know?
Do you feel like being able to be with your sons and daughter mm-hmm. is worth more than a career mm. paycheck?
Oh my. So much more. So much more. And you know, I think as you get older, it's different in your 20s and maybe even early 30s. But as you get older, you just realize how precious time is and
yeah.
how fast those years go by. And you just want to slow it down. And you know you can't. That's the saddest mm. thing. You know, you yeah. see your little ones growing up and your big ones are grown. And you're like, I wish I could slow this down, but I can't. You know, so it's
right.
like you just enjoy it more. Not that the days or the moments might not be challenging or difficult.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sure, it's easier to have an empty house and,
yeah.
you know, put them on the school bus and say, see you at 4:00. But mm. you know, the blessings that come with being there all during the day.
Oh, yeah, know? Right.
It's, yeah.
Well, because then it's your family. I mean, mm-hmm. rather than government school
yeah.
Yeah.
propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you watch any TV in your household?
Oh, they watch a lot of Western movies.
Western movies?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Lots. Like, I think.
Like, really old stuff.
Really old stuff.
The new stuff's garbage. But
yeah.
the old stuff's good.
Yeah.
What, like classic Clint Eastwood or older?
No, like old stuff.
Old,
like
John Wayne stuff?
Lots of,
like pre-Bonanza.
Yeah.
Like Bonanza.
Oh,
wow.
And, yeah.
yeah,
like Bonanza and before
and
that.
Before that.
So
yeah.
anything like Lone Ranger,
stuff that's
Roy
just,
Rogers.
It's going to be known as okay. hate speech real soon.
So. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. yeah. So we're going to have to start like downloading this stuff and hoarding it.
Yeah.
yeah, they'll edit it.
Yeah, yeah. But they love watching that. And then anything else is like tech stuff.
But we don't have any cable TV in the house.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No propaganda like that. But we do
no.
Watch YouTube and things like that yeah. for educational purposes
and, like,
and stuff like that.
Current events stuff.
Current events.
Yes,
like,
we're all up to speed
on the submarine.
And
just
what's your household rule about mobile devices?
So Matt has a phone when he turned 16 and he was able to drive. He got a phone,
yep.
but it's a
Trumi phone.
Trumi. So it's not a smartphone. It's got
right.
GPS and he can text
Texting.
And talk.
That's
right.
And he can take pictures. But
yep.
other than that, my take on any type of mobile device.
Yeah, it has no internet on it whatsoever.
Until you become your own man with your own house, like that's when,
right.
you know, and in my opinion, this is going to sound super ancient, but like my daughter, when her husband if when she gets married and if her husband says she can get a smartphone, but she won't have one either.
She might have a Trumi phone.
Yeah, she'll probably have a Trumi phone.
Yeah, sure. She can have one.
But this is fascinating to hear you say that because, you know, today's kids grow up so much on their phones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even if they're sitting physically and having dinner with their own parents, they're just here. They're not even present.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And their whole world is consumed through that phone because it's very socially driven.
Right.
And it's a total distraction.
Yeah.
Even in schools.
Yeah. And if it's not the smartphones, it's the video games. Yeah. And they're probably worse. You know, now we have generational. Now we have fathers. You know, I work with men. Mm-hmm. I use that term loosely. I work with men that have children, right? And they go home after work, and that's their quality time, is World of Warcraft or...
Mm-hmm. Really?
Call of Duty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And I mean, no, this is... And this is not the exception to the rule. This is inordinately commonplace.
No kidding.
And playing, like, Call of Duty with their little kids.
Like little tiny kids.
Yeah, 5 and 6 year olds.
Yeah,
that. Isn't that kind of a violent video game for such young kids?
I think so, yeah. Like... Yeah, and it's very commonplace, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So what would you say to somebody watching who says that you're anti-technology, let's say?
Oh, wow.
Have you ever heard that?
We are not anti-technology.
Yeah, okay. We're definitely not.
Much, speak up, Matt.
We very much love technology.
Yeah.
But it's a double-edged sword, 100%. The internet is a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. It is... One of the most beautiful things that has ever been created is the internet. And we have learned 99% of our skills from YouTube and the internet and different things that we found on there. I've seen other people that they've tried to not use the internet. Mm-hmm. And we've went over to their farms or their homesteads and we're like, oh, did you know how, you could do this way or this way or that way, or using swales on contour and different things like that. And they were like, oh, I didn't know any of this. So I'm like, oh my goodness. Like there's like a plethora of knowledge on there,
right?
But you know, it can be to your downfall too. You know?
So you use videos for learning. I do too.
Yeah. I'm a visual learner. I got to see it. Like I can't read it in a book necessarily. I need to see it. Show it to me.
You know? No, I didn't grow up in the country either. The first time when I had goats and I needed to build a fence, and I was like, how do I build a goat-proof fence? which is a special skill.
Yeah.
And because they're going to test it.
Right.
And I was like, how do I build an H-brace? And how do I create tension with an H-brace?
Yeah.
And I looked it up online and built it.
Awesome.
And then you're hands-on. Then you know how to do it yourself. Yep. But what you all are doing also is using the internet then to teach and inspire others.
Others,
So I think you're using the internet in the way that it was, like the positive way that it should be used.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Instead Definitely. Of an addictive
Correct.
Way.
Yeah. Correct.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the only reason I really have a phone is for business and like safety. If I got in a car accident.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And have to call mom or if I get kidnapped or something like that.
Or for your GPS getting around.
Yeah, that's the other big one is GPS. Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really wish I didn't need one.
Are you afraid of getting kidnapped? I mean, you should.
No, I just,
no, but normally I'm always there with my three other brothers. So normally I'm kind of like waiting for the day, like try me.
Yeah,
like,
I think a kidnapper would choose somebody a little more vulnerable looking, you know what I mean? Yeah, aren't you wearing a knife too?
No, Buddy's got the
knife guy. He'll pull
got like
8
knives.
And James always has spurs on, so you just hear the spurs walking into the grocery store. I don't think anybody's gonna mess with him.
If anybody asks you, just tell them you parked your horse outside. Okay, but talk about now your business too, because you produce products.
Correct.
And
Correct.
You sell them on your website. Is it thetexasboys.com?
The Texas Boys.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thetexasboys.com.
Yep.
I just want to give you a chance to do that too, because you got to have revenue to support your lifestyle. You put a lot of work in. So you brought a couple of items.
Yeah, produce our own. We have our own coffee line, and it is called the Native Brew. And we have several different types of coffee flavors on there. And we actually have another roaster that we partnered up with too, and he's very, very local to us, and he makes our organic CBD infused coffee and our Lion's Mane coffee.
Oh, that's a good combo.
They're absolutely incredible. And then we have our locally grown and harvested honey, and it's unvaccinated and it's not pasteurized. So all
what do you mean
good,
it's unvaccinated? What do you mean?
Yeah, so it doesn't have any of the
bee colonies,
the Mr. Not with stuff
that?
In there. So no COVID-19 junk in there.
Okay, so. And you source that from Texas, across Texas?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You add anything to the honey?
No, there's no additives.
Nothing.
To
no
it.
Additives. It's 100% raw. Mm. And then we have all types of other stuff on our shop. Uh-huh. And recently, we're actually getting very much into the cattle operation and business aspect. And we're going to be starting to, well, we already are, selling our own beef. Actually, and
locally.
Yeah, right.
And eventually, possibly actually shipping out our own beef box too.
And pork.
And pork box too.
You know what's doing really well right now? I've talked to some other partners and people I've interviewed, is freeze-dried beef cubes.
Really?
Non-mRNA vaccinated cattle. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's actually going gangbusters right now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you might want to look at a freeze dryer somewhere in Texas and you know, go in and get it diced up, freeze dry it.
Mm. Okay.
And you put it in number 10 cans. And as you know, we know a few things about how to do that.
Yeah. Just a little,
advice,
just a little bit.
And then you could have long-term storable freeze dried beef cubes.
Wow.
Non-vaccinated cattle.
That would be
that
awesome.
Would be.
Yeah, because our cattle is non-vaccinated and they're out on grass. The whole time, they're pasture raised, and
we don't spray our fields with anything, any nasty herbicides or government free fertilizer.
Oh, biosludge.
No biosludge, human waste.
No.
Yeah, it's already bad enough that there's chemtrails out there.
No kidding. Yeah, some things you can't stop falling out of the sky. All right, so right now you focus on coffee and honey.
Coffee, honey, and then we have our own bulk tea on there.
We sell t-shirts.
Make Orwell Fiction?
Yep.
Yeah.
Several
awesome.
Other different
Yeah,
different
and you have bulk tea. You have candles.
Candles.
That they do right there.
Yep.
And
they're organic coconut wax candles too, so it's none of the junk getting into the air.
Then we just rolled out a video course on we rolled out a parenting course and a young men's course.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we're really excited about that.
It's like a how-to course?
Yep.
Yeah, it's got a workbook and some videos with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Just kind of sharing our experience, you know, and helping people, just general ideas, just grace and learning, you know, parenting skills and stuff like that. Just
well, you're in the right place because with Brighteon here, our network, we now have Brighteon University.
Okay.
And we run every Saturday, we start running a new documentary series.
Okay.
And so we should talk about, see if maybe we could run your parenting series on the network.
That'd be super great. And then the boys have their own course they're launching. Both of our courses are going at the end of the month. We're going to run them for 5 to 6 weeks and then close them up and then, you know, take a break and then reopen.
And then what's
them
that course about?
But yours is a young men's course.
Young men's course. So we just talk about everything.
Yeah.
Just being a young man. Yeah. In the world that we live in and acquiring skills and different things like that. And then also that comes along with the course is a live sit down talk, and they get to sit down with us and we can answer any of their questions and different things like
consulting
that.
Consulting almost.
Yeah. Yes.
And
consulting.
Like a private Telegram group.
Like some of these kids coming out of the schools, they do need to learn how to be a man.
Yeah.
Actually.
Legitimately.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And what we'd like to do is sell them some real red meat.
Yeah.
So they can start. That's how they start. You eat that first.
Yeah.
And then you start watching the videos and doing curls. And
watch some old westerns.
Yeah.
I got it. No, it's funny because a lot of today's youth, they've lost touch with basic skills like how to change a car tire.
That's right.
For example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's funny. I've said on my podcast several times to people, like, everybody in your car, you should have a foot bicycle pump. case you need to pump up your tire.
Yeah, just
you just pop it on there and pump it up. Yeah. And the first time I said that, I had people react. And like, you can't pump up a car with a bicycle tire.
Yeah, you can.
A bicycle pump. Like, yeah, how much pressure do you think is in those tires? It's only like 35 pounds. I mean, hopefully you have feet that work. You know, but I can't believe that people don't have basic real-world skills.
Yeah,
you know?
It's sad.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I like to say a lot of times that Texas raised our boys because, you know, all we did was bring them down here and then just kind of let them go. And I mean, yeah, we were there
in a controlled way.
Yeah. But
there were boundaries.
But just, you know, the neighbors, the community, the older men.
Older generation.
I mean, that's who really took you under their wing 100%. And said like, okay, this is what you do with the cattle. Okay, this is how you run fencing. Okay,
right.
This is how you steer calves and just all of the things. They've just...
Certain thing, a lot of our skills also that when we started meeting our neighbors and stuff, we actually just started turning to them. So instead of rushing to the internet for ideas or solutions, we would just call them up. Now that's normally what we do, call them up. Like, oh, I wonder how you wire this certain part up. Normally we'll call them up or, you know, since we're out in the country, we actually had a fuse go out on one of our pickup trucks once where we were like, oh, I guess we're going to have to run into town and get a fuse. And we're like, you know what? We got a neighbor right up the road. We can call him and he probably has a fuse. We called him up. He had a fuse, you know.
Yeah.
And different things like that. Just having a community and providing a service to them also, you know, so we have tools like a tractor and a sawmill and different things and just hard work, you know, just us being there on the farm, our YouTube channel and our businesses that we run on the farm, keep us kids on the farm. So us kids didn't have to go out. I didn't have to go out and get some meaningless job at Walmart or McDonald's and, you know, work a 9-to-5 little, you know, cog in the machine type of job and then, you know, make $20,000 a year or whatever. And then, you know, work on my college education in between then, you know,
That will make people mad. You know what he just said? Oh, are you belittling people that work at Walmart?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Not.
But absolutely, you know, that's what we instilled into our children. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you know what?
You can do better.
I had all the menial jobs. Right. I mean, that's how I started.
Yeah, I've done them too when I was a kid.
Yeah, so, you know, and part of what's wrong with America is legacy in this sense. You know, we changed our paradigm on absolutely everything, even when it comes to finances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're doing something that's called private family banking and, you know, capturing our family dollars as a family for the legacy. So when we went about to, we're going to purchase dirt, right? Mm-hmm. So we bought our homestead on 5.5 acres. And then 3 to 4 years later, we call it a ranch. It's 25 acres.
Ranch.
Yeah. In Texas, that's a joke, you know, but for us Northerners, that's a ranch, you know, we bought our ranch. And then when more property came available, you know, this was the legacy. Mm. This is the inheritance that you give to your children in real time to experience with them.
Not and later help down them, the road.
Yeah, and help them build the future with them.
Right.
You know?
Now, are you teaching your family about honest money and how the dollar keeps losing value?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you had bought gold back in 1971, instead of holding dollars, it would have held its value.
Yeah.
So you have conversations about that?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, we're very familiar with the devil from Jekyll Island. And
Yeah, well, that's critical because to actually have assets that last from generation to generation, it can't be in fiat currency.
Correct, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it can be in land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be in gold.
Yeah.
Maybe some other assets as well, but not in fiat currency.
No,
fiat
correct.
Currency is just to use temporarily.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just to get what you need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There were storms that swept through Austin and Central Texas last night, and so we lost electricity. In our area, and I've talked about this publicly, but you'll appreciate this. So, I just pull around my tractor that has a 110 horsepower PTO, and I have a PTO generator.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, really? It's a 50 kilowatt PTO generator.
Oh, that is substantial. Yeah.
So, but these generators don't cost that much because they don't have their own engines, right?
Uh-huh.
It's just the coils and And so, you know, you have to crank up the PTO RPMs to the right speed. It's like 4,200 or whatever it is. And then I have a transfer switch. And I throw the transfer switch and all the lights come back on, uh-huh. right? And then my neighbors are like, how are your lights on? I'm like, we thought the whole neighborhood was down. Well, the neighborhood is down, actually. But if you need to charge something, come on over. Yeah. I'm burning diesel and making electricity. So you're welcome to come over. But this idea of being able to actually make your own electricity, it seems to be so foreign to everybody. Mm. I mean, some people have solar, but those are all grid tie systems.
Right.
Yeah. They don't work off-grid.
Yeah.
And they don't work off-grid at night when it's raining.
Mm. Right,
anyway.
Right. Exactly.
There's no sun.
Exactly.
You got to burn diesel.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's true.
But, I mean, living in the country has taught me a lot. I know it's taught you a lot. And now you're teaching a lot of other people the exact same skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, God bless you for what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
It has been a blessing to us. We are realizing and living a dream. Mm. And you know, if we weren't as plugged into the news and everything that was going on, we would be living, we could very much live a fairy tale.
Yeah.
In the sense that we go to our property, we're there, we tend to our animals. I have what I affectionately refer to as my food 401k. I have about 400 fruit trees
That's
and a greenhouse.
What he invested in.
And that
I
makes do, sense. Yeah,
I do all that stuff, you know, and I can get so just focused on that and focused on what the kids are doing, and we just have such a great time. And if we wanted to cloister, you know, and just push everybody out and ignore everything, we could absolutely do that.
Yep.
But you're not trying to. You're
no, we're no. not. We're not.
You're talking called, to people.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not called to do that.
Right.
You know,
right,
and that's what. And I think that's really important because there are people that are. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you an anecdotal story. When we first moved here, we met a single fella, an older fella, on like some kind of prepper website, and he invited us out to Sunset, Texas, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he invited us out to Sunset, Texas, and this was during. So we went out once and visited, and then we had the Ebola scare.
Yes.
And he called me and he said, y'all have to come out here and, you know, bring everything and we're closing the gate and we're staying.
Oh yeah.
Right. And I mean, this guy had multiple hospital generators and it was just one guy and he was ready for whatever, but you know, if we would have done that, you know, I think about all that we would have missed out on.
Because he wanted to give us land. He saw a young family, so he wanted to, like, oh, this would be great. This young family can raise up these boys, and they could do things here on the farm. I'll just give them some land, and this will be, you know, an incentive for him, you know. But, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm very thankful we didn't take that opportunity because we would have missed many more opportunities. I mean, we think of all these different crises we've had in American culture since the 70s. And what if every single time, well, we're getting in the bunker, we're welding the door shut. You know what I mean? And it doesn't work like that. I know people have done it, but what have they missed out on?
Right. Well, like you said, you were saying to your neighbors, sure, I do have power. Come on over if you need anything. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Right. If you need to charge your satellite phone or your flashlights or whatever, if you need, you know, because I have satellite internet, and with the power, satellite internet's working, so people can get on. But let me ask you a question, Matt. And maybe to you, TD, too, also, but how do you balance this? Because on one hand, you may have an increasingly thriving business.
Yeah.
You have an increasingly thriving YouTube channel. And there's a revenue model tied to that. But at the same time, the reason that that channel works is because you are living this genuine lifestyle, which means you got to go clean out the chicken house. You got to go, you know, pick the fruit, weed the garden. You got to go
the trees.
Right. Yep. All the things that are necessary. And it can become, there's a spectrum where you might one day say to yourself, well, I don't need to prune those trees. I just need to make more videos. I'll hire somebody to prune those trees. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you make sure that you continue to lead an authentic lifestyle?
Mm.
Well, he has three younger siblings. So he has a little bit. He can buy himself some time there, I think, with that. They can go and they can be the ones to clean the chicken coop, and they can be the ones to, you know, gather the eggs and learn from daddy how to prune the trees and everything like that. But I don't know. I don't want to steal your answer, but go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, the revenue's not there.
No, it's not. It's not. Well, here's the deal. Here's the real thing. It was there. Mm-hmm. It was there about
for 2 months,
three months.
3 months, and we were grabbing 30,000 subscribers a month or more, and you know, selling all of our products like gangbusters, and it was absolutely incredible. Yeah. And then YouTube put a kink in everything.
It
went boom, first strike,
shadow banned.
First strike, we went ahead and we had a 1 week break. Well, no, first strike was just the first strike, and then they're like, this is a warning. Then another week goes by or so. We're like, dude, we went from daily videos to, I'm like, I'm going to make two videos a day. So we're making two videos a day. And anyway, so then we were like, I just had it so that the other boys would go out and do all the chores and everything. And I was just like head of the content, right? If dad would get home, we would eat something real quick. We would sit down, make two videos. I'd be like editing flat out. And then, we started doing that, and then we got hit for like medical misinformation and voter deniers or whatever.
Yes.
So we've gotten five strikes now on YouTube.
Oh, really? I didn't know you could get five strikes.
Well,
they fall off, and then you get more.
Oh, yeah. So they fall off. So
no, they won't let me on for years.
We just got another strike, and we just got off yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For what?
Medical misinformation. I think it had something to do with home remedies and prayer.
Yep.
Yes.
You don't invoke prayer on YouTube.
No, that would be terrible.
So
it's going to confuse him.
What I was trying to say is the revenue was coming in, and I was thinking about, well, you know, my real thing is I'm an outside type of guy. I don't. I like the tech and stuff, but I'm like, you know, I'll pay for somebody to do that. I love the hard work and sweating and working hard. I don't, you know, I want to do mostly all of that stuff. You know, certain things I might have hired out if I had the money to do so. But so that's what I was planning on doing. And then YouTube shut that all down. Uh-huh. So.
Well, see, this is why I started Brighteon.
Yeah.
And this is why you can get all your channel going on Brighteon and all your videos posted there. You'll never be censored. You'll never be shadow banned. This is what's happening. You know, people are finding out YouTube's not a reliable place long term.
Absolutely not.
But there's BitChute, you know, there's Rumble, there's Brighteon and Odyssey and a bunch of others and other social media sites. But you know where it's all going is Web 3.0, which is a decentralized structure where there are no central hosting companies that can even determine anymore. Like 5 to 10 years down the road, if Web 3 really takes off, and we're helping to build it. We're really? A big part of it. Yeah, I'm launching a new show on that whole topic.
Is that IPFS or?
Well, IPFS is one example of a Web3 technology, but it's all about peer-to-peer decentralization, including content publishing.
Oh, wow.
So your content would go out across peer-to-peer networks. Cordal is one of those, right? Mm-hmm. And there's nobody that can censor it, not even the builders of the system. They can't censor it, right? Mm.
Dude,
so
that's awesome.
The future is uncensorable content.
Mm.
And the shift is underway to that right now. It's going to take a few years.
Sure. Of course.
But as long as you keep doing content, you stay authentic in what you're doing, the technology world is changing, and people are tired of having YouTube or Twitter tell them
self-censoring too.
It's
like,
so hard to make content because, I mean, we'll try to do a live stream and you're like, okay, well,
can't say that.
Yeah,
can you say that we were sick last week? I don't
I know.
Can you say that like the
so
kids.
So then you like have to like so,
okay, we won't
spell
say
it
that.
Out. Use code language like Mr. Na is mRNA.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just it's so much. It's really sad. You know.
Yeah.
It's
really
sad.
And you try to learn to self-censor all the different words, but then they tell you more stuff like.
But it will never end.
Well, and they just added on to YouTube. You can't use certain Bible verses now.
Yeah.
You can't post certain Bible verses.
Oh, and that's going to expand. It's going to be.
Oh, it's going to
at some point every Bible verse.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or even to use the word woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or motherhood.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're supposed to be a birthing person.
Right.
Did you know you were a birthing person?
Don't you feel special?
Yeah. Yeah. And you could be a birthing person.
I know. Yeah. Isn't it great?
According to the culture.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's the world is changing rapidly, but what I love about what you're doing is that you're adapting to it, but you're holding the line on your values, what you believe in,
right.
Which, you know, again, may be different from what other people choose
in
their
lives. Sure, 100%.
Right.
Yes.
But you're holding your line.
Correct.
And saying, this is what we believe family means.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's honorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, you know, there used to be a time in our country where we could disagree. You know, and look, this is our values. This is what we hold to. Mm-hmm. And look, I see great abundance and fruit from that. And I am greatly blessed by that. And maybe the person that I'm talking to holds a different set of values.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think they see the blessing that I'm experiencing too. And that's part of the influence of like, well, maybe he's right. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I am off kilter or out of center. Maybe my values, maybe I have lost my way, you know, and maybe I should consider what he's saying. So that's why I think it's really important for us to press forward. And as I've hated, you can ask Matt, I've hated YouTube from the beginning.
Both of us hate YouTube.
We hate YouTube.
We say it on our videos. We absolutely despise it.
But I refuse to leave. You know, to me, it's, you know, and maybe eventually they'll vaporize
us.
They probably will.
They probably will.
Sadly.
Yeah. And you have a channel too?
Yep.
Yes, I have a channel.
Your own
too.
Channel.
Yes. Yeah.
Then we have a backup
channel. What's it called?
The Texas Girls.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So I started that for me and my daughter, and then we can cover like all the girl stuff, you know,
from the
woman's perspective of the homestead. And she has some little silky chickens that are like, you know, real highfalutin silky chickens. So that's going to be her little business, maybe, you know, when she gets a little older. She's six, so she has time to grow. But, you know, for us, we want the kids to be very entrepreneurial minded. And we just think that it just builds such self-esteem and character.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so. For her too. We want her to, you know, actually the family that we're coming down to visit, they have a daughter and she runs cattle and she has a flower business and sells cut flowers to all different stores in Austin and very entrepreneurial minded young lady.
These are great skills
for
young folks to pick up is how to do business basics.
Yes.
100%. Mm-hmm.
How to do fulfillment or some simple manufacturing, how to understand accounting, a customer service.
Yeah,
you know? These are things, these are skill sets that can lead to a lifetime of self-reliance.
When
you don't have to go work at Walmart.
That's right. And if she becomes a mother or wife, this one young lady, you know, like she's going to have all those organizational skills that she used to run her family's business. And they have a beef business too and everything. And then she'll be able to take all them and say, okay, now I can manage my pantry really well. And I can run all the meals for the house and I can homeschool the children and do, I mean, it takes a lot of juggling.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I would, first of all, I greatly appreciate you all coming in and sharing this and allowing me to ask kind of intimate questions about your family and your goals.
Yeah.
And I'd like to send you back home with a pretty good assortment of some of our products.
Great.
That would be amazing.
And you can, you can enjoy those different tinctures and different food and things like that. You can play with those and just tell you you're welcome here anytime. So if you come back into this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh, and you brought me a tree.
I brought you a world's best. So I have about 140 or 50 different variety of fig trees. And then I started collecting mulberry trees.
Really?
So now I have about...
No, there were that many types of things.
There's about 2,000. I don't think I'll get there, but...
Wow.
You can always...
I have fig trees that produce, and great. I love them.
Yeah.
But it's all the same kind.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's boring.
That's okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so I brought you a world's best. So that's a dwarf. It's an ever-bearing. It's excellent. Very large fruit. Great animal fodder.
Really?
Yeah, the reason I got into the mulberry was for tree hay, for animal fodder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Know?
So if I can find something that's more bushy and prolific, and you just grow in a food hedge, you know, for the cows. So,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have a lot of chickens, and I'm sure they'll enjoy the mulberries.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's been a scientific study on mulberry leaves that they're incredibly high in quercetin, and you can eat them.
Is that right?
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
No kidding. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Cool. Well, very cool. So we'll go trade stuff out then, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a Texas barter. Honey.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I've got some good stuff for you, and we'll just keep in touch and maybe keep bartering. But I just want to say thank all of you for watching. I hope you enjoyed this. I mean, if this is something that you're interested in doing, I mean, this kind of lifestyle, you can make it work. Again, you are living proof. Mm-hmm. From the Northeast, came to Texas with nothing, and started homesteading, raising kids, raising a healthy family, and learning skills and growing your own food. How much of your own food are you growing right now, if you could estimate percentage-wise?
Well, quite a bit now.
Well, now we relatively went carnivore.
Full-on carnivore.
So, since we have
all meat, I mean, you don't
pretty much
almost really? Exclusively,
pretty much.
You know,
99%.
Now we do have a gardener.
Yes, we do.
We do have a garden. We're using the Mittlighter method, and the garden's going well.
Yeah.
But as far as like our main base of our meals is
meat,
beef and pork, and eggs.
Lots of eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's incredibly sustainable. And we can get an inordinate amount of our calories that way. So if we stay this path that we're on, we're about 90% sustainable.
90%. Yeah.
No. You're kidding. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because what really happened too was only 3 weeks ago, we found out that our local, grocery store, Brookshire's, went woke. And that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
And we're like,
They're full DEI.
Yep. Because we stopped buying from Walmart, and then we're like, well, at least we got Brookshire's, you know, we're supporting this family company, Preppers or whatever. Yeah. And then we learned that they got this
DEI policy too. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Brookshire's.
And then we're like,
we love Brookshire's.
Never mind.
We love all the people there.
We're going to go carnivore / you know, eat whatever we eat.
Aldi. Grow, I started looking them up and all the different ones. Now there's Azure Standard. We could get fruit from and stuff, and you know.
Yeah. So
we have fruit orchards.
Yeah. So
orchards.
Like, yeah. So we're not.
We eat figs, obviously.
Yeah. So we love you know, whether you want to call it a nutrivore, but you know, our goal is to eat meat, and when the fruit's in season, to eat it, and when there's an excess of fruit, we'll can it and preserve it.
Right. Uh-huh.
But that's kind of our strategy.
Yeah. And when there's vegetables in the garden, we'll eat them, and then when there's not, that's fine, you know. Yeah. So
you got to have onions with your meat.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have onions.
We have lots of onions planted.
Yes,
and you got to have potatoes.
Yeah, we have lots of.
That's not carnivore, but we do have lots of potatoes planted.
Meat and potatoes and onions. I mean, come on.
We have a field of sweet potatoes planted.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah, we're in sweet potato country. So.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, we don't sell any meat products here, so you're going to get all like high nutrition fruits and veggies and superfoods.
Oh, that's cool.
That's
right.
So
that's
it'll be
cool.
Good complimentary what you have.
That will be.
That's
very cool. All right.
That's super cool.
All right. Awesome. Well, let me just say thank you to all of you who have been watching. I hope you found this intriguing. If you want to check out their channel on YouTube, if it's not banned yet, it's called The Texas Boys. And that's also their website, thetexasboys.com. And the Texas Girls now too, is yours.
And we're on Rumble too.
And you're on Rumble. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yep. And are you on Brighteon yet? You got to get on.
Yeah, he set up the account.
I set up
so
the
we
account.
Just have to start uploading.
Start uploading.
Yeah.
And I'll tell my admins to ban you every time you mention
there you go.
Bible verses. No, that's a YouTube policy. Okay. All right. We'll give you extra stars when you mention it. How about that? All right. But thank you all for watching. I'm Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com, also in Central Texas, living on a ranch. and sharing a lot of the same things that you share in terms of self-reliance, but I don't eat as much meat, but that's okay. To each his own. But thank you for watching. Again, God bless you all. God bless America. Take care, everybody.
See y'all.